This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, after the show, went out and did the big exercise routine. And I was just, you never know who you're going to run into over at the lovely park where I do the big, it's a 2.5 mile around the lake trail. And I try to make it around twice. That's the goal. Yesterday did not happen. It was like 98 degrees outside. But anyway, I was having a good time. I was what was I listening to? I think I was listening to Hannity or somebody. And so anyway, I'm doing the lap and drinking the water and trying to stay upright in the heat and humidity. And all of a sudden, this guy starts flagging me down, waving me down. So I take off my the earbuds and I talk to this guy. And so he's a regular listener of the program. He's a friend of the show. I've never met. I think I've met him once before, and. So we had this conversation, and he had, asked about how I was doing. He said, "Man, you are starting to, you're looking like you're losing a few pounds there." That guy was training for like a triathlon. So he was like a hardcore athlete. So we're having this conversation, and then he just looks at me. He says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He says, "What is going on with Trump?" He says, I voted for this guy. I'm a MAGA guy, and I'm an America First guy. He says, "But I got to tell you, I don't know what's going on at the White House, but they've got to get this under control." And the guy just, I don't know if it was sort of like therapy, but he just sort of let loose. And he was just really frustrated by what's been happening, maybe what's not happening at the White House, and the war in Iran. And that's ultimately what it was really all. It was really about the war in Iran. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this guy, and he is a rock solid conservative. Say he was probably an older guy, definitely in his 60s. And he is just, he's really frustrated, almost to the point of being done frustrated. So last night, and I think what led to a lot of this is what happened yesterday when the president announced, okay, fine, we're done. And, you can't trust the Iranians. We're going to go in and we're going to blow into kingdom come. And then just a couple of hours later, the president comes back and says, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We've reached some sort of a deal. And I think, the president says, I think we're going to have a ceasefire. We're going to be able to work this out. And in response to that, the Iranians say, no, we do not have a deal. And then they sent drones to attack one of our military installations over there. And we shot them down. So I heard what this guy was saying, and I sense his frustrations, and I honestly share his frustrations. And the president is dealing with something in the White House that I don't think any of us truly understand. But I think there are forces at play here, and I don't think they're nefarious. I just think they're a very serious difference of opinion about whether or not we should be in a war. And I think those people are, in no specific order, the Vice President of the United States and Donald Trump Jr. And Don Jr. especially has his father's ear. And then on the other side of the table, you've got a lot of the folks who are war hawks who say we should go in, we should finish the job that should have been finished in 1979, and we should be done with it. Because I don't care who you are, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, there's no way that we can allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And you and I both know that Iran wants to get a nuclear weapon. They're not going to stop. That's the end goal here. And then they will use that against either Israel or the United States, or if they get to, both. So yesterday we had Congressman, Tim McClintock on the show, and I really appreciated what McClintock had to say. You know, McClintock is out there, and he's like, you know, we've got to attack the enemy until they wave the white flag of surrender. But I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is this actually working? Is this the president's plan? Is it working? Because 39 times the president says we have been very close to a deal. This goes all the way back to March. Take a listen.
We have major points of agreement. They want to make a deal, and we are very willing to make a deal.
Well, I think we're going to end it. I can't tell you for sure. Well, they want to make a deal so badly. You have no idea how badly they want to make a deal.
They want to make a deal so badly. I do see a deal in Iran.
We were very close to a deal.
I think it's close to over. Yeah, I mean, I view it as very close to over.
It's looking very good that we're going to make a deal with Iran, and it's going to be a good deal.
This process should go very quickly. We're going to end that war very quickly. They want to make a deal so badly.
We think we're close to a deal, and that's okay.
We're in the final throes of what will be a very, very good deal.
39 times, and let's hope the 40th time is the charm here. I hope it is. But I'm curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a little frustrated by all of this? Because I think, by and large, the American people, they know Iran. They're very bad people. They're evil people. They've slaughtered tens of thousands of their own citizens. They're throwing gay people off the buildings over there. They're subjugating the women. It's a terrible situation over there. So I'm just curious if you share the frustration of this guy I ran into at the park yesterday. Because he's really fired up about this. And at the end of the day, I don't think the Iranians want a deal. I don't think they've ever wanted a deal. I think they're stringing us along. That's what I think is going on here. And here's what I don't want to have happen, and this is where we are heading. We are heading towards being still involved in a war come the midterm elections. And that's no good for everybody, especially President Trump. So I don't believe the president is getting snookered. No, I don't think that's it at all. I think the president is getting conflicting advice and guidance from people that he trusts implicitly. That's what I think is going on here. But if we're going to go to war, here's the bottom line. If you're going to war, you blow the enemy to kingdom come until they wave the surrender flag, and that's it. And you do not stop until they wave the surrender flag, right? I mean, that's how we used to fight wars. I mean, you have to inflict pain and suffering, and it's a terrible thing. War is awful. But the point of war is to bring about peace and to bring about an end to the conflict. And the only way to do that is to subject the enemy to the full wrath of the United States military. And I don't think we've done that yet. And I know the president's a kind and good and compassionate man, but Iran cannot be trusted. They can't be trusted. It's really that simple. So anyway, opening up the phone lines today. By the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is the Friday edition of the show. It is also Open Line Friday. That means when you call in, we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, by the way, in just, about 15 minutes, Lee Greenwood is going to drop by. He's doing a big partnership with Bass Pro Shops, and we're going to talk about that. Some other big issues, of course. We've got the big UFC fight night at the White House. Dylan, you're going to be watching that on Sunday night?
This might be the first UFC match I've actually seen like this year at least.
It's going to be pretty intense.
It's exciting.
And it has enraged liberals. We're going to explain why. I do want you to head over to our Facebook page. And if you'll scroll down, one of the big problems that one of the big issues that people have, they're upset at they call them the Octagon Girls. Those are the ring girls. Dylan, they're the lovely ladies who hold the signs. And if you've ever been to a fight, there is something that this is true about every single fight night in America. Those are very attractive young ladies.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the magenta haired, you know, Subaru drivers of America.
No, not at all. Not in this case.
These are very, no full figured gals up there. And one of the reasons why is the rings aren't that large and, you know, you don't want to damage it, right? So you've got to have, I mean, there has to be a weight limit. I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's true. I mean, that's a literal fact, actually.
That's true.
People are falling through the stages.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you want to
be practical.
Somebody accidentally, you know, bounces and the next thing you know, boom, yeah. You got a big hole right in the middle of the octagon. Nobody wants that. So anyway, they've got the gals, and we've got a photograph of it over on our Facebook page. That's why I want people to go there and check this out, because people are now enraged. They're saying that the outfits that the girls are wearing violate the U.S. flag code, and they say they're all very offensive. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to go over and look at go to the Todd Stearns Facebook page. Scroll down and you will see the outfits. And I'm just curious if you find any violations of the flag code among the lovely Octagon girls. Dylan, are you looking at the photo?
I did.
What do you think?
Possibly one of the most modest like outfits that they could wear. I mean, if people really haven't seen UFC fights, like they can, you know, be wearing almost nothing. So this is a lot more modest.
You can actually, let me put it this way. In today's modern church, these girls could wear these up on stage as a member of the worship bands.
Yeah. In the modern day church.
In the modern day church. Wow. Oh, look at the high heels. Those are pretty. You know, I didn't even look at the high heels. They're going to have a tough time walking around those things.
They kind of look like super women.
Like this, like reminds Wonder me Woman. Of
like yeah, Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, now the leftists are all upset. I wonder if they're more upset that these are very beautiful, attractive, healthy, physically fit, actual women, as opposed to, you know, the Star Wars bar scene that we've been looking at parading around towns waving flags. I'm just saying. All right, we got to take a break here. Go look at this picture, and I want you to, because people are saying this is a violation of the flag code, and people are also saying that it's going to be dangerous. Trump is putting lives in danger because it's going to be hot and humid and there are going to be mosquitoes. And no, I'm not making this up. I mean, one of the Axios actually interviewed an insect specialist to weigh in on whether or not people might get some sort of a disease that they get bitten by a mosquito outside the White House. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hey, guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So just curious here, what do you want President Trump to do? What do you want President Trump to do? Do we go in and blow Iran off the face of the earth? Or do we make some sort of a deal and get the heck out of there so we can get back to life as normal? Inflation will drop. Gas prices will drop. And some people are saying gas prices are already dropping in some areas. I can assure you they are not dropping in Memphis, Tennessee. $3.99 a gallon is what I paid just the other day. So I'm just curious, what do you want President Trump to do when it comes to Iran? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Crazy story out of Midland, Texas, where a suspect has barricaded himself in a building in downtown. Active shooter. The mayor now announcing at least 11 people shot. The FBI is there as well. And they are bringing many of the victims in. I guess the shooter's still barricaded, but they're bringing in victims to Midland Memorial Hospital. We have no other additional information other than there's been a mass shooting there in Midland, Texas today. Let's go to the phone lines. Ella J. Georgia, Joe from Ella J. Joe, what's going on today?
Todd, great prayers for the family in Texas. That's terrible. Now, Todd, what's going on today is just fantastic. Talking about Trump, the stock market is continuing to hit a new all-time high. And I thought Steve Moore, Trump's top economic advisor, is a good friend of mine. And today I named him the number one taxpayer champion in the country. And he says, Joe, things have never been better. And Todd, based on, the market is just continuing. I mean, just think of the people, the 401s that are going way up and the people that are having that happen to them. And so it's fantastic. So I think Trump, in my judgment, Trump's the best leader in history. I don't have any complaints. I think everything he's doing makes sense to me. And I think when the stock market is a pretty good judge of how people feel. And just like today, it's breaking another all-time high. So I'm a very happy person. I'm down in Sea Island and talking to a lot of people all over the country, and everyone I'm talking to loves Trump and loves the stock market. So I'm a very happy person. And Todd, I appreciate what you're doing. You have a great talk show. You're very positive, and thank God for Todd Stearns.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you saying that. However, let me ask you this question though. Would you agree that there is a difference between what's happening on Wall Street and what's happening on Main Street? Because right now, Main Street, you're right, the stock market's doing great. Wall Street's doing great. But the economy on Main Street is still sluggish, and people are struggling to be able to pay their bills.
Well, you know, you're right on that, and I think Trump is moving to address that, and there again, the midterms are coming up, and that's going to be a big test. So Trump has got to get, and I think he's working on doing that, and you just mentioned gas prices. I think by midterms, gas prices will be way down, and the people you're talking to will reflect great news. However, if that's not the case, we could lose the midterms, and that would be a disaster. But I have enough confidence in Trump. He's aware of just what you're talking about, and he's working on getting your gas price down where Todd Stearns doesn't have to pay too much for gas. And so they're aware of all these problems. But, Todd, they've got to do something about it, and I think they will. And I'm predicting on your wonderful show midterm landslides for the Republicans. And if they don't get the gas prices, though, down, and other prices, it'll be the opposite of that.
No
but
doubt
I'm
about it.
I'm a believer in Trump, and Todd, you have been a great supporter of Trump, but you also want to reflect how your listeners feel, and a lot of them are upset, and so he's got to work hard between now and the midterms to get the prices down where Todd Stearns doesn't have to pay too much for gas. If he does that, and I think he will, we'll have bigger wins. If he doesn't, then Todd, it'll be disastrous. We'll lose to the Democrats.
Yeah, and we can't do that. We just can't do that. Joe, always good hearing from you. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for being a great positive voice here on the show. You know, it's interesting, going back to this Axios report, Dylan, Trump's UFC fight faces a tough opponent, D.C. heat, humidity, and bugs. They're saying that the D.C. swamp is boggy and muggy and potentially stormy, Mother Nature emerging as the night's biggest wild card. The Hollywood Reporter says there are major threats, rain, lightning, and a ton of bugs. They're really taking this seriously here. I mean, they're freaking out over this kind of nonsense. We're going to get into more of this in just a little while. But again, go look on our Facebook page. I want you to check out these ring girls, and you tell me if those outfits violate the U.S. flag code. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting on more than 100 stations around our great nation. And, of course, a lot of excitement getting ready to celebrate the Great American State Fair kickoff celebration. And it's really going to be a remarkable time in our nation's capital. One of the individuals that's going to be a key part of all of this is our good friend Lee Greenwood, who joins us now on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Lee, we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to get to Bass Pro Shop and the awesome partnership with them in just a moment. But I'm really excited about this Great American State Fair kickoff. Hope you're doing good today, Lee.
I'm doing great, and we're excited about it as well. I mean, the Great American State Fair, I didn't know why they called it a state fair. It's going to be in D.C. or Virginia or somewhere. And I'm like, oh, they get all 50 states coming. So everybody's evidently making some kind of a presentation, or they bring their state flag and set up the state flag somewhere. But yes, that's why it's going to be so big. And of course, June 24th, that's the beginning, that I'll be singing with the United States Marine Band, it looks like, and introducing the president. And then, of course, it goes through the July 4th weekend, which is going to be exciting. I can't be there the entire time, but I'm going to be there the 24th. The 25th, and then I have to go somewhere else for a while, and I'll be back on July 1 through the July 4th holiday.
Lee, this is one of these huge American moments, our 250th anniversary. You would think that everybody would be on board. Everybody wanted to go the extra mile, you know, to throw a parade or have some sort of a party or a celebration. And again, the fact is that you've got a lot of folks that are turning this into a political mess. You had a lot of musical artists that backed out. And I'm wondering, you know, you are a musician, and there have been so many musicians that have played for the president because it was respect in the office, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican in the office. What was your take when you found out that a lot of these artists were going to back out?
Well, a little disappointed, Todd. I have the belief that when you do something that celebrates America, it's non-political. Running for office and you celebrate a particular candidate because you believe they'd be good for the office, that's still our right as a musician. But if you prefer not to celebrate America, that's disappointing. Sorry.
Well, it is. And now we have word, and this story coming out this week, at least seven states, Connecticut, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Oregon and Washington will not even participate in the Great American State Fair. And, I'm sure they're going to be listing a litany of their excuses, but I think we all know what's going on here.
Well, absolutely. It's kind of like when the president addressed Congress, and every time there was something positive that the left, all the senators and congressmen, that they sat on their hands. I mean, that to make that kind of gesture is insulting. I think.
Lee Greenwood joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Lee, I'm really excited about this limited edition flag, American flag. It's the Allied flag. And you guys are partnering with our friends at Bass Pro Shop. Tell us about this exciting flag.
Yeah, it is exciting. I have a huge flag in my front yard, and we fly the state flag as well, the Tennessee flag. And but we knew this was coming for some time ago. Johnny Morris is a very close friend, a wonderful guy. He's a terrific entrepreneur, and he's given so much to other people, including, by the way, to helping a hero. We build homes for wounded warriors. And he takes care of a lot of that for us. And I'm so appreciative. But we knew the Allied Flag Company was going to go in partnership with me. And so this box that I have, I don't know if you can see this or not. Can you or not?
Yes. Okay.
But it's got my likeness on it and my name on it in front. A beautiful box, actually, if you'd like to have it as just a souvenir. But inside it, of course, is the beautiful American flag that is made in the United States. Just make no mistake about that. It says on the front of it, America's 250th anniversary flag, and it's nylon, weather resistant. It comes in a beautiful package, and you can get it now through the July 4th weekend and probably beyond from Bass Pro Shops nationwide. So don't hesitate to wait for allied.com if you want to order it and you can't get to a Bass Pro Shop, but go there in person and pick one up.
I think it's just a wonderful thing, and I've got the flag. I've got the God Bless the USA Bible. So I'm having a whole Lee Greenwood section now in my home. Of
Yay!
Patriotic.
As long as it's not a memorial.
No. By the way, speaking of Johnny Morris, you know, we have a little Bass Pro Shop in Memphis. I don't know if you're aware of this, Lee Greenwood.
Oh, yeah. And it has a light in the top of it that goes to the moon.
It's unbelievable. Of course, in the old pyramid, which we used to call Correct. The Tomb of Doom when the Memphis Tigers played there. But there's a great story about Johnny Morris. He was actually out fishing with Bill Dance. You know, the great all time famed angler, and they were joking about where to put the next Bass Pro Shop. And so he joked and said if they caught a 30-pound catfish, he would build a Bass Pro Shop right there in the abandoned pyramid. And by golly, they got a 34-pounder, and we've got a Bass Pro Shop in a pyramid now.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. I've been in that shop.
It's, you know, Lee, you travel the country, you talk to all sorts of folks, and I'm just curious, what is the mood of the country right now?
Well, I guess you have to consider who I see. I mean, I'm pretty rural. I see a lot of the country folks. You know, I'm not in big cities much anymore. When I was really hot touring artist in the first 15 years, let's say, of my career, from the beginning of 1980 through 95, after I met Kim, which was in 1992, we were married. Then I stopped really touring the big cities. We tour outside of them. You'll find more of the people on the right, if you will, politically. You'll have people that are hardworking Americans and dedicated to the productivity that's necessary to keep the wheels in motion in this United States. But the mood is fantastic. I mean, the only comment I get is the gas prices are high, you know, and that's, it's a fact. And we hope that that'll change quickly, because of the Iranian conflict. But, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. We've got to get that taken care of quickly. And I'm with you on those gas prices. So, Lee, again, congratulations, and tell folks again, if they want to get this Allied flag, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah, you certainly get it for the website, alliedflag.com, or go to a Bass Pro Shop. That's fun. I mean, they have so many things that you'd like to buy. Believe me, I bought my last cargo pants there. There's like, they got all kinds of stuff that are good for hunting, fishing, and just rural living.
Lee Greenwood, always a pleasure to have you on with us, and thank you so very much. We certainly appreciate you joining us today, sir.
Todd, love you very much. Look forward to going to the UFC and at the White House.
It's going to be a great fight night. That's going to be pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lee, thank you again. All right, folks, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. So, you know, I really hate that these kinds of things happen, but they do. And we've got to talk about them because I believe in transparency here on the Todd Stern's radio show. So there is, in Tennessee, there's a big congressional race. And there is a woman by the name of Charlotte Bergman who is running. This woman is a perennial candidate. She has run at least six times that I know of and has lost all six times. And so Judge Joe Brown is running her campaign, and he's been our point person for getting her on the program. Because, again, we want to invite all of the candidates on. And again, this is all over the country. And so we love having the candidates on, and we want to give everybody a fair shake. Well, now Ms. Bergman is out there making accusations about yours truly. And the woman is either misinformed or she's a liar. And I will, this is a head scratcher. She also believes I'm a liberal. she's running as a Republican, by the way. And here's what she wrote. Todd, you know good and well your team never reached out to us. And just so we're crystal clear, we have zero interest in buying advertising on your show as a prerequisite for being a guest. We'll pass. So first of all, that is against the law. And we abide by the law on this radio program and the radio station that I own. We invite people on to talk about the issues, whether or not they buy campaign advertising or not. And the fact of the matter is, Ms. Bergman, again, is either misinformed or she is a liar. And I say that because we keep the receipts here on the Todd Stern's radio show. And we have reached out numerous times inviting her to come onto this program. And they were supposed to be on this week and we got stood up. Is that accurate, team? All right. My team is shaking their heads yes. So we've invited this woman on multiple times, and we'd still like to invite her on because we believe that's the right thing to do. But what is not right is for a woman like Charlotte Bergman, a perennial loser at the ballot box, to make false accusations about yours truly. And the answer to that question is, yes, we certainly did invite her to purchase advertising, but there was absolutely no prerequisite that she had to buy ads to be able to appear. That's not how the FCC rules and regulations apply. And so here's what we wrote going all the way back to May when we asked Ms. Bergman if she would be willing to come on. And we said, May the 20th, can we get Charlotte on my national radio show? He replied, yes, and that was it. Didn't hear back. Then in June, love to get Charlotte advertising on KWAM. Some of the other candidates have already started running ads. That was it. Then this was on Sunday. The question was getting her on the show. So this is really unfortunate and sad. But it says a lot about a person's character when they either are just misinformed or outright liars. And I have no idea which one she is. But this is really unfortunate. And let's just get real for a second. This is a big problem in the Republican Party. When you have people out there doing this kind of stuff, that's not who Republicans are. So anyway, the invitation still stands, if Ms. Bergman would like to come onto the program, but I can assure you she will have to retract what she alleged here. We're not going to allow anybody, a Republican or a Democrat, to make unfounded charges against us. That's not going to happen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Frank in Winchester, Virginia, WINC, our radio affiliate there. Hi, Frank. What's on your mind today?
Hello. Well, being an oldster and retired here in Winchester, Virginia, and I do listen to your show almost every day on the car radio, I wanted to make a comment because I wanted to stress that American wars have not been ones based on total victory, even though lots and lots of bombs have been dropped. We can go to Vietnam, for example, where there were bombing halts all the time, and finally Nixon had to inherit it. And then Nixon bombed the H out of them, but the peace settlement was rather dubious. It left the North Koreans behind the line, so to speak, of South Vietnam. So there's been a lot of situations since World War II where we have been a little uneven in the way we pursued war, and I think it might be plausible for Trump to get out of a trap that he might be in and hit him hard, but just try to get out so we can open up the strait. I want to mention, too, that even if Iran had no nukes, they've been doing terrific damage without nukes. And there are plenty of big bombs that are not nuclear but can wreck whole cities. So there'd be a lot to negotiate. So you've got to have some clear war aims, too. But I think I don't think we're ready to go the whole hog, and I'm not sure what result, if it would be a positive result.
Frank, I appreciate you bringing the history in here because we're just not learning our lessons. You know, we didn't learn it in the first Gulf War. We're just not finishing the job, and that's a big problem. So I'm with you. I think we ought to go in and we ought to finish all of this and get it over with.
Well, the problem is I don't know what over is going to be in that context. It's a little deeper and murkier with Iran than even the other ones, you know, the other conflicts, because are we going to have a lot of troops stationed there to try to control something in Iran? Or, you know, there's going to be a lot of after effects. So it's what I'm trying to say. It's hard to figure out what the job is, you know, to get the job done. In other words, what the final job is. I think the best one would have been regime change, but we haven't been able to get regime change. That's the thing that looks bad, you know, that's bad to me, is that it doesn't look like that. If we had a different government altogether, or at least a saner government, perhaps we could get some sort of settlement that would be equivalent to getting the job done.
Well, it's, you know, and that's a fair question, is what are we over there for? Originally, it was to dismantle their nuclear program. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if we've done that. Have we done that? I don't know.
No, I don't think that we have altogether, and they could get it anyway. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of things that haven't been explored, because also Iran can do some trade via the Caspian Sea. And also, there's a rail link that's going to China. So, I mean, we could bomb that. We could bomb the Caspian ports, but we have a danger of getting more involved with Russia because Russia probably has a lot of ships there.
Mm.
So
yeah.
It looks like something that's a little dubious. The only thing that would be plausible would have been to have regime change, you know, to try to get some sort of peace that would be would be better in terms of nukes and supporting proxy movements and so on like that in Lebanon and elsewhere.
Frank, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend, for the hour, but it's a good thought. Folks, hang tight. We've got hour two coming up. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Shatters, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. All of these... Dylan, I don't know if you heard in the last segment, we're interviewing Lee Greenwood, and all of a sudden, it's like these alerts started going off.
Yes, we all got them here.
Everybody's phones. I've got to figure out a way to turn these things off.
I don't think you can. It's like one of those emergency alert systems.
It said critical, imminent threat alert. I'm like, the blasted aliens. Dadgummit. It turned out to be real after all.
They're coming for us.
By the way, the reviews from Disclosure Now.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
Not good.
I wasn't going to see it anyway, but this is even more of a reason not to.
Somebody said they were actually rooting for the aliens. That's not good. That's never good. I may have to take a pass. I'll wait until it comes out, you know, on Netflix or something.
DVD.
So, but anyway, when all the alerts went off, I'm like, oh, gosh, we've got an alien invasion on our hands.
Steven Spielberg was right.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us today on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have got a lot going on. By the way, we're going to be talking to Congressman Keith Self in just a little while. He's going to be joining us from Texas and with the very latest on the Carmelo Anthony trial. So there's a lot going on there. Also, our good buddy Joe Messina from our affiliate out in Santa Clarita, California, will be with us, gosh, in about a half an hour or so. And so we'll be telling you more about that as well. But right now, very excited to welcome a great American patriot down in Cajun country, Jeff Cruet. And Jeff, you are the president, general manager, WGSO Radio, great radio station. Jeff, good to have you with us today, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, yeah, I don't know about you guys. We're getting in Memphis right now. It's like monsoon season out there. You guys get the big storms and everything down in New Orleans?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of rain. It's been a rainy spring, which, you know, I don't mind because it keeps the heat away. So I'm all for it because this has been, you know, typical time when it really starts getting hot. People try to start heading for the beach, get out of Dodge to get some relief. So I don't mind the rain, Todd, as long as it's not too much.
There you go.
Because we're under sea level, by the way.
Yeah, I never could figure that one out. But it's still a great town. And by the way, I don't know if you've been following the Freddie, the German guy, who's been like driving across America for the World Cup. And I guess they arrived in New Orleans yesterday or day before yesterday, and they're just going bonkers crazy. They love America.
Right. My wife was telling me about that. And of course, why wouldn't they love America? Because we have so much more to offer than Europe. I mean, there's more freedom here. I think they were all excited because you get free refills of Coke. And that's something that's like impossible in Europe. So we shouldn't take any of that for granted, Todd.
And ice, Jeff, ice. So yeah. God bless America. I did tell them they need to go by Mother's, get the debris po' boy. You know, you got to do that. And, right. And hang on. I think they went to Waffle House again. They're really infatuated with Waffle House.
Well, you don't come to New Orleans to go to Waffle House. But, Mother's, that's a good suggestion. I mean, there are hundreds of great places they could go. I mean, they got to have some seafood while they're down here.
Oh, definitely.
Beignets, right. I mean, the list is long, Todd.
Jeff, this is why I have to stay away from New Orleans, because the food is just so insanely good. Right. Jeff, politics, it doesn't come any better than Louisiana. You guys always have some wild races and crazy characters, and you've got the big runoff coming up with our good friend, former Congressman Fleming, going up against Julia Letlow. And this is just a head scratcher because Fleming is actually the more conservative of the two candidates.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, every rating shows him to be the true conservative. I think a 97% conservative rating. And Ms. Letlow is in the 70s, 60s, depending on the different group that is rating. So there's a big difference. She's basically a moderate Republican in the mold of Bill Cassidy. I mean, pretty much very similar to Bill Cassidy philosophically. But now she's being packaged as this MAGA Trump-loving candidate. And it's really false advertising because her history shows that she's just not that way. That's not her voting record.
So let's talk about that, because again, that part of it seems to get lost in the national media. And I know, I think they had a situation in Iowa where the president ended up endorsing the non-MAGA candidate. So you really do have to wonder who's in the president's ear telling him to endorse these folks.
Well, here in Louisiana, it's the governor. I mean, the governor strongly supporting Ms. Letlow, and I think convinced the president to endorse her. The governor has tangled with Dr. Fleming on a number of issues. And yeah, he wants to really, he's very much into control power. So I guess he wants to have a Senate seat that he controls as well, and was able to convince the president to endorse her. I think it was an unfortunate move. I think Dr. Fleming deserved the endorsement. I mean, just one thing to remember, Todd. On January 6, 2021, when so many people in his administration abandoned him, Dr. Fleming was deputy chief of staff at the time. He stayed. Yeah. He stayed until the last day. He didn't leave his post. That, to me, shows loyalty, commitment, and it should have been rewarded with an endorsement by the president.
Mm. Jeff Cruer joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today from New Orleans. And I'm with you on this one. I think we all have to do our research. We've got to make sure that these Republicans that are getting elected are, in fact, true conservatives, because we certainly see how it's working out for us right now in the U.S. Senate.
Well, and Bill Cassidy is Exhibit A, Todd. I mean, Bill Cassidy should have never been elected, but he got in, and he's been a rhino really since day one, and John Cornyn is another. So, yeah, we got to do our homework. And here in Louisiana, hopefully the voters will. I've got some interesting breaking news to report to you.
Jeff, hold on. Did you say breaking news?
Breaking news.
All right, hold on.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Sorry, Jeff, I paid good money for that sounder. So go ahead. What's the breaking news?
Breaking news. So I do an event called Politics with a Punch. It's a live stage show that we do. We did it in Baton Rouge last night. We had a packed house of folks there. So among this huge crowd, we did a ballot, and we asked, you know, who are you going to be for, Dr. Fleming or Julia Letlow? And the results were 79% for Dr. Fleming, the balance for Julia Letlow.
Oh.
There was another conservative group that met last night in Houma called We the People. They did also a straw poll. The results of that poll, 91% for John Fleming, 9% for Julia Letlow. So the message is the activists, the people that are engaged, the people that know the issues are definitely supporting Treasurer Fleming. And I think that bodes well for him because, as you know, in a runoff, the turnout is going to be less. It's more of the activists, more of the engaged voters. And these are the people that study the issues.
That's a fair point. That is huge news. What do you make of that? I mean, it certainly seems as though Louisiana voters are pretty engaged and they're doing their homework.
Well, she won the primary, I believe, because she had such a financial advantage over John Fleming. I mean, it was like 10 to 1. I mean, all the money from the PACs, all the money that she had raised from the president's endorsement, the governor's endorsement. She inundated the airwaves, a lot of attack ads. So she surged toward the end and got 45% of the vote. John Fleming came in second, and Bill Cassidy didn't even make the runoff. So I think in the runoff, she's going to continue to have a financial advantage, but I think it's going to be more of the people that know the issues, less of the folks who maybe were just trying to get rid of Bill Cassidy. That's been done. And now are you going to choose someone that's like Bill Cassidy or someone who's a real MAGA conservative? That's the choice.
Wow. All right. It's going to be a fascinating race to watch. And it's an important race, especially with the situation in the Senate right now, and you've got the majority leader who is just not budging on nuking the filibuster or moving the Save America Act through. And I'm just curious, what are your listeners, you know, when you talk to folks that are listening to the station, what are they telling you are the big issues on their minds?
I mean, they're disgusted by the Republicans in the Senate, by John Thune. I mean, he's negating the will of the people, the election results from 2024. I mean, the president was elected on a platform of securing the border and deporting people that are here illegally and securing elections and making sure we don't have a repeat of what happened in 2020. And they're not following through on the Save America Act. They're not confirming his nominees. I mean, it's just it's gridlock up there. So that's a problem because Republicans did that to Trump in the first term, and then we lost some majority at the midterm. And then, of course, look what happened. So these guys need to deliver. I mean, we've got a few months till the midterms, and they've got to act. So among my listeners, there's a lot of anger toward these so-called Republican leaders in Congress.
Jeff, I have great respect for you and your radio station because New Orleans is a blue city, just like Memphis is a blue city. But you guys are fighting the good fight down there. How's the station doing?
Well, thank you for that, Todd. So we are 80 years old this year, so we're celebrating our 80th anniversary. We are locally owned, locally operated. We are in contrast to the other stations in New Orleans, which are owned by conglomerates. We've got George Soros that owns one of the big stations in the area.
Oh,
another
boy.
One has no local programming at all. So, and another one is a progressive, far-left African-American talk station. So we're really the only station for, you know, common-sense conservatives and people that like to follow what's going on in the state of Louisiana. And, you know, we're working hard to try to present that alternative to listeners in this, as you say, very progressive city, New Orleans. Has not elected a Republican mayor since 1872, Todd.
Wow. That long?
Yes.
Jeez, aloo.
Every problem in New Orleans can be traced back to the Democrats. So we got good things going on in New Orleans, but all the problems, the infrastructure, the blight, the crime, the waste, mismanagement, incompetence, those are all Democrat problems.
All right, we're giving you a battlefield promotion. You're officially our New Orleans bureau chief on the Todd Stern Show, Jeff. WGSO.com, is that where people can go if they want to check out what you guys are doing?
Yes, that is the website. Encourage people to go on. They can listen to our shows and comment and check it out.
All right. Jeff, we really appreciate you coming on. We're going to check back in with you, and we'll see how things are going as the elections pop up here.
Thank you, Todd. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Jeff Cruer, ladies and gentlemen, the president GM of WGSO, Community Radio for the Crescent City. And I wonder if Miss Janice listens down there. Great radio station, though. All right. We've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this segment of the Todd Stearns Radio Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are five key strategies to increase your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to give you this special report free of charge. Whether you are getting benefits or you soon will, you need this Social Security report. I want you to give them a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to text all the information to you right away. Again, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dylan, did we figure out it was just, what, storms? Is there a massive tsunami, a flood arriving? What the heck is going on?
Well, you know, anytime it rains in Memphis, Tennessee, and we get some sort of warning, you know, the world's ending, you know, it's really just like a little rain shower. But they make it seem like, you know, your house is going to be underwater if you don't leave right now.
Your house is, I mean, it's critical. That's in all caps red.
Imminent threat alert. Pretty intense.
Holy cow. Unbelievable. So, all right. Well, we're high enough. So
yeah, we are high enough.
And if we're not, well, you know, it's been nice talking to everybody. I'm just saying. All right. Good to have you with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Open Line Friday, an opportunity for you to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, this is Mayor Zohran Mamdani hosting a Pride party at New York City Hall. And by the way, there's going to be a drag queen whose name is Peppermint. Take a listen. Cut 33.
Can y'all hear me all right? I'm Peppermint, and I am so excited to be here for Mayor Mamdani's very first ever New York City Pride celebration as mayor!
Happy Pride, everyone! As a first step, my administration has made a $15 million investment in gender-affirming care over the next 2 years. And we will continue to use every tool at our disposal to ensure that trans and gender nonconforming New Yorkers can live with dignity, safety, and freedom they deserve.
All right, there you go. By the way, then in Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey brought his small child, and they had one of the most hideous drag queens. I don't know where they're finding these folks, but these are like the bottom of the barrel drag queens, and these are not lookers. I'll tell you that much. They won't be ring girls in the octagon. That's for sure. Dylan, I'm getting frustrated. I'm reading this lawmaker who is making these false allegations against us. This is insane. And now everybody's piling on. This is great. I've got to read some of these to you, Dylan. This is great. Okay. Somebody said, come on, Todd, you're better than that. Reach out. Well, we have. We've got all the receipts. During the commercial break, what did I say, Dylan? Print them out.
Print out the receipt.
Print them out.
And we did.
Oh, here we go. I follow Todd Starnes. This is from a realtor. I follow Todd Starnes, but I have noticed things are different lately with him. What does that mean? Oh, and then someone replied to that. His true colors are starting to show. Well, jeez-a-loo, guys, you got me. I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. Jeez-a-loo. I guess the jig is up, Dylan.
That's going to get taken out of context.
Oh, you better believe it. Next thing you know, this I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here. This candidate will be out there. Todd Starnes says that he's a Bernie Sanders supporter. I told you, people. How about just go win an election, ma'am? Why don't you try that? Instead of picking on us and lying about us. Unbelievable. Oh, things are not always as they appear. No, sir, they're not as they always appear because they're lying about us. I don't know, every now and again, and Dylan, we get a lot of this hate mail. Look, the Democrats do this a lot. It's always kind of surprising when a Republican does it. But sometimes it just gets under the skin. This happened at a bad time on a bad day. We'll just leave it there. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back. I will say this, and my apologies to KYKN and Bartlesville and all of you. Just Houston, bear with me for a minute. If you're in Memphis right now, it really is a bad flooding situation. So just be careful if you're on the roadways out there, and don't become a statistic. But what a mess! What a mess! All right, want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Say hello to our good buddy from out in Santa Clarita, California, Joe Messina. Joe, good to hang out with you today, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, too. And you do have the directions, I'm sure, for that whole arc thing, in case you need it, right?
The arc? Yeah.
I know you've got the instructions.
I told Ken Ham, book me a seat just in case. Just in case. Oh, my goodness. You know, Joe, we've been following all of the developments out of California. And, of course, Steve Hilton, looks like he and Gloria Romero are going to be a powerhouse duo there. How does this play out moving forward?
Oh, you know, depending on who you're talking to out here, you've got Becerra doesn't have anything to run on. But I think I've told you this before. The Democrats are so afraid of Republicans that they've the Democrats over the decades have done such a great job of painting us as, you know, Satan's second cousin, that they don't really want to have much to do with us. And all we can hope for is that things keep getting, I know this sounds bad, but all we can hope for is things keep getting worse out here because of, you know, Governor Newsom's policies and what he does. Gas, I think I sent you a picture yesterday. Gas was up at $6.80 a gallon.
Oh, my God. $6.80 a gallon?
A gallon, yes. So I have to keep my foot off the gas pedal, Todd. It's not comfortable for me.
Speaking about not being comfortable, Joe, I want to play some audio for you. This is, you know, the Democrats have been having a hard time trying to figure out how to attract male voters. I know they're forcing Tallarico down in Texas to eat meat. And now the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles has decided to weigh in, and they put out a new music video called We're Not Gonna Take It. Let's take a listen to this. Cut 16. Dylan, were you singing along there?
Oh, I thought I didn't think you would notice.
Okay. I kind of noticed that. That was kind of weird.
I was doing the bass part, obviously.
They needed some help in that area. Joe, what you did not see were the jazz hands, and they were thrusting their pasty white thighs into the air, which was just, I'm not sure this is going to, like, it doesn't exude manliness.
You know, I'm sure Twisted Sister is just thinking, my God, this is not what I wanted a song put out there. I have to take all that back, because if you really think about how they were dressed, maybe they're holding that drag queen kind of.
I don't know.
You know. So, anyhow, this is nothing new with these. This was done in California, probably West Hollywood.
Yeah, this Los Angeles. Yeah, the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus, and of course the one up in San Francisco. They creep me out because they do that song about "We're coming for your children," and yep. Which is just a weird anthem. But again, it's, you know, I think it illustrates just how far out of touch the Democrat Party is with the average guy in America.
Todd, what do they mean they're not going to take it? They got more rights than most straight men have. They have more rights as a couple right. than most couples have, right? I mean, think about it. And they definitely have more money than most traditional couples have, for sure. So I don't know exactly what they're talking about. When they start to dust up, make noise, or push back on things, most people cave and give them what they want. So I you're right. They're living in an alternate reality here.
You know, what gets me about when you look at the Democrats and, of course, the election in Maine where you've got Graham Plattner, and it's fascinating because now this is a complete reworking of the party platform from being the party of, you know, we're anti-Nazi, we believe the women should always be believed, and now they're the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, well, you and I both know that's never been true. You know, go all the way back to JFK. Like
Chappaquiddick.
Yeah. Yes. You bring back. What about Billy Bob Clinton? You know, I mean, obviously none of those women were believed at all. Or if they were almost believed, he paid them big bucks to get them to go.
Yeah.
You know, they're just the demonic stuff is just so crawling all around them. And they're right in your face with it. It's almost like they're saying, go ahead and stop me, because the Democrat Party has become that party that they don't. You know, to your point, the guy's got worse than a Nazi tattoo. He has got all those charges against him. Now, I realize we're innocent until proven guilty, but my God, he's not even at first, he wasn't even denying any of it. So the Democrat Party loves him. Think about the people all across the country that they've got behind and back. Look at that socialist up in Seattle, right? I mean, my God, they're not just out of touch, Todd. They're moving to a different planet.
You know, I like the word you use there, Joe. You mentioned demonic, because I think there is some sort of spiritual warfare going on. And when you look at the aftermath of the Austin Metcalf, this trial in Texas, now you've got blacks all over the country that are posting pictures, memes of them urinating on the grave of Austin Metcalf. People are now calling for blacks to openly attack white people, which I think is actually happening, according to a couple of videos I've seen, if they're actually accurate. And then you have people like Jasmine Crockett, member of Congress, out there basically saying that, you know, hey, it was just one stab wound. Here's cut 34. Let's take a listen.
Also, I mean, can we just be real about this? Like, who why are you rolling up on somebody and being like, get out? Like, correct. This is, to me, this is the culture that is being instigated. Yeah. Mostly because of like, you know, y'all know how we say on the internet, don't let your president get you up, right? Like, because people get real bold with us right now, like, you know, and this whiteness and this replacement theory crap that they on and all of this kind of stuff, and it's like, oh, we the victim, because the fact that, you know, any kid would feel like it makes sense to walk in and see this particular kid, I mean, we've all interpreted that there was a race component to this,
yes,
and be like, oh yeah, it's raining, but get out. Like why?
So look, Joe, you know, if you've been to a track and field meet, those tents, the team tents, are kind of like a dugout for a baseball team or the bench for a football team. And if you're not on the team, you're not supposed to be there. But what concerns me of what Jasmine Crockett said, she's saying the quiet part out loud, that the guy who did the stabbing, the black dude, is the real victim here.
No, but I, first of all, can we clear something up? Before she ran for office, she spoke perfect English. There was no Ebonics there. She, right? I mean, she got A+ in AP classes, and I wonder how long she practiced to do that. What an insult that is to the people.
You be telling the truth, yeah.
Yeah, right? So, no, this person had been asked several times to leave. He wasn't supposed to be on school grounds that day. You know, so give me a break here. Are they now allowed? And when I say they, I'm sorry, but it seems like black folks or people like Jasmine are telling us that black folks should be allowed to do whatever they want to do, because anytime we say, please don't, that's a racist. Wait, that's going to hit the racist comment list. You watch. Please don't do that. And he was only stabbed once. It only takes one stab now, doesn't it?
Well, look, so look, that's not, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg here. You've got people, there's one woman out there saying that the father of Austin Metcalf should be held accountable because he did not teach his sons, his white sons, that black young boys have boundaries and you don't cross those boundaries. The family actually is, they're getting death threats and they're getting doxxed. All their private information is getting doxxed. This is just unbelievable.
Well, this is your new, welcome to your new Democrat Party. There are no boundaries for them. There are no reasons not to do something. They really don't care. You know, Todd, it used to be, and I know you've heard this a million times, we could disagree. I have Democrat friends we disagree with on politics, but we agree on so many other things. We have lunch. We spend time together. But now it's kind of like, if you don't agree with me, death to you. That's kind of the response at that point in time. And look at the things that they're pushing. My God, look at the things they're suing Trump on. You can't get, I'm going to keep using that term, you can't get more dark or demonic than they have become.
It's true. It's true. All right. We are going to have to leave it there, Joe Messina. JoeMessina.com for all things Joe Messina. Good to hear from you, my friend.
God bless, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone. Salem, Oregon. Randy listening to us on KYKN on this Open Line Friday. Hi, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what I'm calling for, I wanted to find out if you watched the movie Pressure that was on over the D-Day anniversary weekend and week.
I did. The name of the movie again is called Pressure.
Yeah. About the meteorologist Stark. His life is a true. It's based on a true story on his life. What happened during that time frame?
I had not. I knew that the weather. Just going back into my history, I knew that was like a huge factor in whether or not they could even do D-Day on D-Day.
Yeah. Because of his decision, we're speaking English instead of German probably right now. You know.
Wow.
And then another movie too that runs parallel to it. Tom Selleck starred in it several years ago, and it's called Ike, Countdown to D-Day.
I saw that movie.
That's a beautiful movie. And I tell people, if you can watch the two side by side, do it. But the reason why I called, too, and then also yesterday on Facebook, I happened to catch a deal. They interviewed Eisenhower 20 years after D-Day, and they were talking about that decision going on the 5th or 6th. And I thought, how ironic, because he talked about going out and seeing the stars shining, you know, early in the morning. Well, a friend of mine I worked with back in 1981, I was his last timber falling partner, and I helped him back out of the brush, and he worked 40 years in the woods and never got hurt. Then, on the way home, he shared a story with me about the Columbus Day storm out here in the Pacific Northwest. He said that we went to work that, he said, I got up that morning, 3 o'clock, every morning, it's clockwork. Get up at 3, go in the kitchen, plug in my coffee pot, and look at, he had a barometer and thermometer there by his kitchen window. And he goes, that morning, I looked at my barometer, and he goes, I blinked my eyes twice. It was so low, barometric pressure was so low, he'd never seen it like that before, all the years he'd been watching it. He goes, what's going on here? So he said, I took my finger and thumb, thumped it, and it just stayed there. He goes, that can't be right. So he said, I walked outside, it was 3 in the morning, I was still in my underwear. Walked out there, looked up in the sky, stars shining, and he goes, huh. So he walked back in, had his breakfast, got his lunch, and his partner came by and picked him up. And he told his partner, he goes, one of two things. My barometer's broke, or, he goes, we got one of the most horrendous storms getting ready to hit us like we've never seen. He goes, why? He goes, my barometer. Mm. He goes, look at the sky. Stars are shining. Nothing wrong. So they went to work, and he goes, and they were falling in old growth timber, like stuff from 3 to 10 foot through, because they were just off the Oregon coast, not too far. And he said, about 10 o'clock, all of a sudden, it sounded like 1,000 freight trains coming in off the ocean. And he goes, off in the far distance, you could hear the trees uprooting and crashing.
Is that right?
So he said, we took off running for the pickup, threw our saws in the back. He goes, we got in the pickup, and I told my partner, listen. He goes, you know that clear cut that's down the road 5 miles from here that we come by every morning? He goes, yeah. He goes, get to that thing as fast as you can, or we're two dead men. So he said he drove that truck 75 miles an hour down that old dirt logging road. And they got out to that clear cut, and he goes, when we got there, he goes, every elk and deer in the county was right there in the middle of that clear cut. And he goes, we drove out in between them. They just spread apart enough so we could drive the pickup between them. And we rode the storm out right there with them. He said, I could roll the window down and slap them on the butt, scratch their ears. He goes, they would not move.
Well, I'll be.
They knew where safety was at.
All right. Well, Randy, I wish we could continue on, but we're going to run out of time here. So, but what a story there out in Salem, Oregon. The big storms coming in off the Pacific coast there. My goodness. 901-260-5926, our number. This story out of the Washington Post. Parents are going broke on berries. The writer of the piece, Hannah Sampson, she's writing that Kristen Fox remembers when she brought home a Costco haul of fruit meant to last her 3-year-old twins a week. The carton of raspberries, blackberries, and a container of blueberries were gone by lunchtime. She tells the Post, I had like $30-something dollars worth of fruit that they just demolished in one day. Ms. Fox works in tech and creates content about raising twins. She said 3 years later, not much has changed. She says, I'm still going broke on berries and fruit. It's a memeable refrain among parents of young kids. Why didn't anyone warn us about the berry budget? Dylan, did you eat berries growing up?
Straw.
The insatiable, bottomless appetite that demands multiple grocery store trips a week, that small humans who might refuse to consume anything but sweet, tiny fruits. Kylie Kelsey is the host of Not Gonna Lie podcast, mother of four kids. She said, it is packs of berries. It has to overcome diapers. Some people have offered totally realistic parenting hacks, and this is actually a good idea. You know, if you're worried about spending that much money on berries at the supermarket, why not just plant a berry bush? You know, plant your own garden. Or maybe you can go out to the berry farm, right? You can pick your own strawberries. I think that's cheaper than, like, Whole Foods. But, you know, back when, you know, our parents were the same way, back when, you know, it was all about the berries. We had Fruit Loops. We had Fruity Pebbles. And we had, if mom really wanted us to be healthy, she got the cans of peaches, right, that were in this, like, thick syrup. And we were able to, you know, those were very, very healthy. And I don't think it busted her budget at all, to be perfectly honest with you. Anyway, the Post writing about the berry boom, and they say it is now year-round, and it's something happening in this generation. Other fruits not doing so well, including apples, bananas, and grapefruit. All right, nobody eats grapefruit. Does anybody eat grapefruit? I don't know of anybody who eats grapefruit. Why would you eat grapefruit? It's just nasty. Except in Fresca. And then that's okay. Fresca's okay. Anyway, all you folks eating the strawberries, about 98% of them are coming from Mexico. Hope they came across legally. Don't want to be eating illegal berries. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. It is Open Line Friday. This is the one opportunity you have all week to phone in and talk about whatever is on your mind. You can do that by calling us right now, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, a lot happening up on Capitol Hill as Congress battles over these FISA warrants. And I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend from the great state of Texas, Congressman Keith Self. He's one of the handful of Republican lawmakers that are standing up for we the people. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be with you. Thank you so much.
All right, so give us the latest here on the FISA warrants. Where are we at in all of this?
Well, the House-passed bill sits in the Senate with real reforms, with a permanent ban on the central bank digital currency. It sits in the Senate. The Speaker of the House thought that he had to take a vote that he knew would fail yesterday. He put it on suspension, which means you have to have two-thirds of the House, not just half. We knew it was going to fail. 19 Republicans joined the Democrats. It did fail, as we knew it would, as the Speaker knew it would. So we're going to hold the line until we get reforms for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which means foreign actors on foreign territory.
Now, again, you've got the Majority Leader, John Thune. He's going after the Democrats, saying, this puts us all in grave danger if we don't have the ability to go in and do what needs to be done without a warrant.
That's what he's saying. But frankly, that's a scare tactics. Look, I want the Senate to work. The Senate doesn't do anything and certainly won't take up a real FISA reform reauthorization. But FISA is not going dark. Let's put that to bed. FISA will continue through the court order through March of 2027. And there's precedent that says if the providers the large AT&T and so forth, won't give you their content, then they can be forced to do so. In fact, we strengthened that 2 years ago. So let's put that to bed. FISA collection against foreign actors will continue.
Well, I'm glad to hear this, Congressman, because, and again, this is, there is so much abuse of this, and I think that's the big concern. I'm not even sure we're ever going to find out exactly how much the deep state abused this.
Well, we know there were hundreds of thousands of abuses under the Biden era, and we know that they are still happening, perhaps to a smaller degree, but it is set up to allow you to have a warrantless surveillance of a U.S. citizen after you do the initial collection. It's set up that way. You cannot get around it. So we need FISA. We need to surveil foreign actors. But we need to make sure that the Fourth Amendment is not a suggestion. It is an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We need a warrant before you surveil a U.S. citizen.
Congressman, I know you've been following these disturbing reports out of Belfast, Ireland, where a Sudanese national nearly tried to behead an Irishman on the streets of Belfast. What's your takeaway on what's happening there in Ireland?
Well, Ireland and the UK in general have mass imported the third world, and now they're paying the price for it. Not only this incident where a man's eye was gouged out and they tried to behead him right on the street in daylight, but we have gang rapes of young women happening, kidnap a young woman off the street. This is going on in the UK, and they are now waking up to the fact that they are losing their civilization. They're losing their Christian culture. And I will quote the greatest British statesman of all time, when he said, it is not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we must do what is required. Look, the UK and the British Empire, they're now understanding just what is required to claw back their culture.
Congressman, I see what's happening over there, and I see the rise of Islam in the state of Texas. We had Congressman Chip Roy on just a few days ago. He is very alarmed about this, and he says, there is an intentional effort to flood the zone in Texas. He said that seems to be the crown jewel of the Islamist.
Well, it's the crown jewel of the Red-Green Alliance, the Marxists and the Islamists. So it is the crown jewel of the United States. We say all the time, as Texas goes, so goes the United States. And that's what we're looking at here. They are intentionally flooding it with mosques and Muslims that eventually, when they reach the tipping point, will start demanding more than just accommodation, intimidation, and then, frankly, control. We've got 1,400 years of history, Todd. When they move into a country, they replace the culture, they replace the laws with Sharia law, and eventually they control everything. And there are elements of Sharia that do not comport with U.S. law. Child marriage. Women are second-class citizens. And I could go on and on. This is intentional, as Chip said, and it's dangerous and it's moving quickly. That's another key to this. It's moving quickly.
All right. We have Congressman Keith Self joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Congressman, the other big story from Texas, with the aftermath of this Carmelo Anthony trial, so many different stories and angles we could take here. I am just so disgusted with the way the Metcalf family, they're being treated like they're the criminals here.
Yeah, this is really dangerous stuff. A young man is dead. What we see here is the cultural decline that we have, the narcissism, there's no control, there's no self-control, there's no civic conscience. If he went unintentionally into the wrong tent, then leave. This is a tragedy, but it reflects the general decline in culture that we have of treating each other with any sort of respect. So, to murder a person because you get pushed or because you get you have an argument, that is beyond the pale. Our young men need to relearn control. They need to relearn some sort of self-control, because that's what we see growing in the United States. My way or the highway, And if pulling out a knife and murdering someone is never the answer.
No, and the, some of the rhetoric coming from, you know, people like Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. And again, it's this notion that the victim here is Carmelo Anthony and not the young man, the 17-year-old that, he stabbed to death. And now I think the latest is people are posting photographs on social media showing them urinating on the gravesite. This cannot be America. This, we cannot go down this path.
This is despicable, Todd. First of all, let me say that. But secondly, this, we are reaping the rewards of our lazy policing, of our empathy-based law enforcement for the last 30 years. We're now reaping the rewards where people are so entitled that they will do this disgusting, despicable reaction to a young man being murdered.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We really appreciate you joining us on the show today. And I know you've been pretty busy this week. We appreciate you spending a few moments with us today, Congressman.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. The great Congressman Keith Self out of Texas weighing in on the big stories of the day. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go right to the phone lines. What is the answer? How do we fix what is broken in our country, ladies and gentlemen? You see... you see what's happening, the response to the Metcalf family. You see how Carmelo Anthony is being hailed as some sort of a hero. What is the solution to all of that? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I have a question for you. Now, if you're turning 65, or maybe you're already on Medicare, well, you could be overpaying right now. And you may not even know it. So that's why I want to tell you about Thomas. Now, Thomas did everything right. He did his research, thought he had a handle on his options, but his previous broker did not show him that plan that actually fit his life. But Chapter did. Thomas made one call. His Chapter advisor compared every single plan, found a plan that Thomas had never seen before, and get this, Chapter saved him about $1,000 a year on prescriptions. And that's why I'm partnering with Chapter. Chapter's advisors are honest. They're not paid to push anybody on one plan. They're the only Medicare advisor that actually compares every plan nationwide to tell you where you stand. In one call, you will know exactly what you are entitled to. And if you're already on the right plan, well, they're going to tell you that. If you're not, they're going to help you switch. A call with Chapter is free. It takes less than 20 minutes. And if you're turning 65 or already on Medicare, go to askchapter.org. That's askchapter.org. You know, Dylan, I want to go back to the Barry story. This one has me flustered. So first of all, the woman's complaining because she said she brought home all these baskets of berries and her little kids just like plowed into them and ate them all, like within the first hour. Well, that's on her, right? That's on mom.
Yeah, yeah. You could argue that. Because if she put them all out at once, I mean, what do you expect?
Give the kid a cookie. No, that's what I say.
Wait. You could do the cookie and then the berries, but not all the berries at once.
Yeah, but again, well, exactly. Like, you have to parse out the berries.
If you're really trying to save money here.
That's right. You get three berries.
Three.
Choose wisely.
Okay.
Like one little blueberry. Two. You can use tweezers.
Yeah.
And you can fix it up. You know, like when you go to the fancy restaurants that, you know, cost $125.
Yeah.
And they don't give any food, but they like design it on the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Not a fan of that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're spending a lot of money to not eat as much food.
Mm. Well, that is true. That's why I don't like going to those fancy, those frou-frou places.
I like steakhouses.
There you go.
They don't sparse. Yeah,
no,
they don't
like Ruth's Chris.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, people are like, they're poo-pooing Ruth's Chris. I don't understand why. Ruth's Chris is a fine steakhouse. But anyway, now they're telling people, well, you should consider buying berries in the freezer aisle. See, I'm not a big fan of berries. You know, I like the peach cobbler. That's a healthy thing. The apple pie, that's good. But I'm not a big fan of the raspberry.
So you're not a fan of just straight up berries. You like for the it to be incorporated in some sort of pastry.
I like banana pudding.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of blueberries at all.
No.
Like the blueberry muffins?
Mm-mm. Oh, I like a blueberry muffin.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm the same. I don't just eat straight up berries. They have to be in something.
America's berry eating, by the way, this is according to the Post, Dylan. You'll be curious to know this. America's berry eating has shifted from a seasonal treat. I will say this. I like strawberry shortcake.
Yes.
But it's got to be fresh.
Yeah, sure.
It's got to be fresh.
What about fruitcake?
Yeah, no.
I lose you there?
Yeah. That's.
That should be an illegal cake right there.
Yes. It's from Satan's Bakery. America's berry eating has shifted from seasonal treat to year-round habit in a generation. So the supply of strawberries per person has more than tripled since 1980, from under 2 pounds a year. Are you ready for this, Dylan? Americans, on average, eat nearly 7 pounds of strawberries a year.
Wow. I mean, good for them, right? But, I mean, you're killing the economy here.
However, there is a racial component here. Well, not really racial as much as there's socioeconomic. So the Post breaks it all out. The wealthier you are, the more berries you eat. Okay, so what does that mean? Why does that matter? Blueberries have gone from a supply of less than 3 ounces per person a year. See, I grew up, nobody ate the blueberries, unless it was Booberry. Was that, no, who was Booberry? Is that a cereal? Somebody will call in. I'm getting my cereal characters. There was Count Chocula. But was there a Booberry? Somebody tell me. I think there was a Booberry cereal. Somebody will call in and help us out on that. But anyway, blueberries, we went from less than 3 ounces to more than 2 pounds per year. Other fruits have not followed. Per capita, supply of apples, bananas, and grapefruit has fallen since 2000. Dylan, you know what it is?
What's that?
VeggieTales.
Yeah.
That's why the blueberries.
They got popular, and now everyone wants blueberries.
What was the name of that? Somebody's going to call him. Somebody to call it. Total U.S. berry. Here's the problem. We're not even growing American berries. I don't know what's up with that.
That's the worst part. They're not even ours.
U.S. total U.S. fresh berry imports, $4.8 billion in 2025. That's up from $134 million in 2000. So I guess they're not growing Americans with berries anymore. Wait a second. Wait. That came out wrong.
American berries.
Exactly.
This is a real problem, Todd.
It is.
Wow.
It's bad enough that China's making all of our medicine. But now we got Mexico making all of our berries.
Yeah. Only the rich and famous can afford.
I don't know about this. 901-260-5926. But again, if your problem is, and the whole point of this was, if your kids are eating too many berries, that's on you as a mom or a dad. Do what our parents did. Give them some Cheerios. All right, let's go to the phones here. I think Keith in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, is going to be able to help us out here. Keith, am I losing my mind? I remember a Booberry cereal.
I have Count Chocula, I have Booberry, and I have Frankenberry.
Frankenberries. I forgot about that.
Yep, and they have the great little marshmallows that are in there, too.
Those things were so nasty. But, yeah, I mean, you're a kid. They're great. Yeah,
you loved them when you were a kid, though.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Wow, so I completely forgot about Frankenberry. So, Dylan, Frankenberry was like Frankenstein, but he had a thing for berries.
Is this like Halloween cereal?
No, this is, Keith, this was like everyday cereal, right?
Well, that's what we were taught back then.
Well, for me, you see, I was always like I loved a cocoa, was it Cocoa Pebbles? But then my mom, Cocoa Puffs. Oh, did you ever do the Cocoa Puff up the nose?
No. Well, that's a long story for another time, but about 25 years, I think I'm good to go.
I'm intrigued now. Okay, that's... So the
clean, that is.
Statute of limitations expired. Okay, good.
But so, I still, you know, I eat the Fruity Pebbles, the Cocoa Pebbles, Count Chocula, Boo Berry, Frankenberry, Captain Crunch, all that stuff. That's good stuff.
Oh, Captain Crunch. Man, I love Captain Crunch. But you got to get it right. It's Captain Crunch, not Captain. So you got to get the Captain.
It's Captain.
Captain. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then, of course, you got the Fruit Loops.
Yeah, oh, those are good, too. And I got some whey protein drink that goes great for that, too.
All right, Keith, thank you for affirming me and my cereal choices. You know, mom would say, no Cocoa Pebbles for you. You've got to eat healthy today. You're eating the Fruity Pebbles. Okay, Mom. 901-260-5926. It's Open Line Friday on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, let's go to the phones. Miss Patty in North Carolina, WSIC. Miss Patty, how are you?
Just getting out of the hospital again.
You're in the hospital again?
No, I just got out. I got out yesterday.
Well, my goodness.
Well, they got to find out what was wrong with me. Took them twice. And, you know, I mean, thank God I have really good insurance because... just my first time. It's crazy what they didn't do to me. I mean, I look like to be honest with you, Todd, my arms, from they took so much blood out of. I mean, they didn't even know what was going on. They go to find out. It was my medication the whole time that was taking my.
Oh, wow.
One is, yes.
But are you feeling better now? Are you on the road to recovery?
Well, I hope I'm not going back there. I'm not. It's all big money. I'm telling you, it's all the pharmaceutical companies want you sick. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true.
Mm. I hope that's not the case, but you do wonder. That's why I don't like getting the flu shot, because I always get the flu.
Right. And, but I want to say something. Remember you said, something must be going wrong with you, like somebody, people saying you're changing. I said, you know, you're going home and you're dressing in drag and you're really the brand wizard of the KKK in drag.
That's it.
That's what you are.
My stage name is The Hot Toddy.
Just came out. Hey, listen. Hey, people out there, I just put it. Todd is a cross-dresser, and he is the grand wizard of the KKK.
Patty, you got to stop.
You got it, people?
Oh, Lord.
Democratic Party. There you go. Secret's out.
Sometimes you just have to shake your head, you know, these people. And I know there are, it's unfortunate that this kind of stuff happens. But, you know, the Republican-on-Republican violence is an ugly thing.
Yeah. Especially on us.
Yeah. It'll get your girdle bunched up, as they say.
Well, you got to stop. I'm telling you. You know, I didn't want to tell on you, Todd, but I had no choice because I'm sick of people. They don't understand what's going on.
I forgive you.
You have a problem. Stop buying the woman's clothes. And stop being, you know, another little David Duke, okay?
I forgive you, Patty.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Patty, take care of yourself. Dylan, what the heck was that all about?
I have no earthly idea. She's on one today.
Well, she may be doing drugs. I mean, she just got out of the hospital, poor thing.
Yeah, Benadryl did a number on you, so who knows what she's...
I know, cross-dressing. Well, I actually wrote a chapter once. This is a terrible story. And I hope there aren't any Klan members listening to us today because I got a lot of Klan hate mail. I wrote a column once, and it was just a parody, Dylan, on there was a gay chapter of the Klan, but instead of wearing the white bed sheets, they had floral prints.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So that didn't go over very well.
Yeah, probably lots of hate mail.
I think it hit too close to home.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Want to welcome into the studio Anna Neiswanger, who has been a guest on the program before, and the student student body president at Mid-America Seminary, and a somewhat of a conservative. No, I'm just kidding. You're really a conservative. Anna, how's it going this summer?
It's going great.
Should we tell people there's another tie-in that you have to the show? Should we let people know?
We should tell them.
That your brother is eating up all of our digital space because he's building, I don't know, some sort of a spaceship. Have you heard about this?
You know, I have not.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Ian. So Ian is your brother. Ian, the intern, is your brother.
Yep, my baby brother.
Wow. All right. Do you want to spill any tea? Do you have any tea, as the young people say?
Well, when he was little, we called him Mighty E because he'd always go grab gallons of milk and lug them around the house.
Mighty E? I love it.
There you go.
Helen and Dylan are already... having loads of fun over there. So, Anna, no, we love Ian and the great work that he's doing, and he's a lot of fun. Of course, you know, we sent him to cover the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which is sort of like on the highlight reel, I hope, for his resume.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, those are the rare opportunities he is afforded working as an intern here on the show.
I bet it's a great place to be.
So, look, we were talking about berries, Anna, and apparently a lot of liberal moms upset because they're bringing home all the berries from Whole Foods, and the kids are eating all the berries. Hmm. And it just seems to me that's not a berry problem. That's a parenting problem.
You know, I think if you give your kids berries, they're going to eat the berries. And I don't know if there's really a way around that.
You think so? You see, you know, the for me, and I know, Becky, I was speaking at an event where you were at this event a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And they gave me a little box of chocolates, and they said, oh, yeah, these are healthy chocolates. And the reason why is because they, like, snuck fruit in there, and there's nothing more disgusting than, like, chocolate-covered fruit, except for the chocolate-covered strawberries at Nichols. I'm not a big fruit chocolate guy.
I don't mind chocolate fruit. I think it's great, but I don't want it to be a secret. If they tricked me into eating fruit, then that's a problem.
I want to know exactly what I'm about to, you know, when I hit that middle, you know, that center.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You got to. So anyway, is that like a big thing? Apparently, more Americans are eating berries more than any other time in American history.
Wow. That is so interesting. You know, I have not heard a whole lot about this, but berries are good for you. I think we should buy them locally. We've got like Jones Orchard and a bunch of great suppliers right here in town.
Oh, that is a good orchard. Mm-hmm. I forgot about it. I like to go down to the Hernando, Mississippi. They got a great farmer's market.
Yeah.
And you can buy all this cool organic stuff.
It's great.
Yeah, we have a lot of farmers down there that actually listen to the program, so I try to do business with those guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, we got to talk about this story that we invited you to come on and talk about. I am not surprised by this, but apparently the California Board of Regents, they're very concerned because basically there are severe math gaps. And so basically kids are coming to college and they don't know how to do basic mathematics. Right. What's going on there?
Well, that's a big problem. They're letting all these kids in for years without any testing. And testing is about accountability, not just for the students and testing their knowledge, but also for the professors and for their entire education. Are they able to do math? And they can't. And now some people want the test back, which is great, but it's not going to fix the problem. It's not going to make the kids able to do math.
You know, again, here in the Memphis area, for example, you've got a school system, public school system, over 70% of the kids can't read at grade level. What's the answer here? What is the solution? What is going on in these schools that these kids are coming out? They can't read. They can't do math. They don't know their pronouns.
Yeah, I mean, it is a mess. Memphis Shelby County schools have a long way to go. And my generation has incredible potential academically, but we're not doing ourselves any favors by having such low standards. And that is primarily a systemic issue because our school system is not valuing education. We're focusing on social issues rather than actual quality education.
That is interesting. You know, and again, you see, we've seen a massive increase in homeschooling, and a lot of it doesn't really have anything to do with religion. It's just that parents are so frustrated that their kids aren't learning what they should be learning in public school.
Right, right. I mean, we have students arriving now even at top universities underprepared. And so we have to ask what happened before that led them all the way through elementary, middle, and high school, and then they get to college and they don't know anything. And that's because they were not taught anything that they needed.
I remember, I don't know if they still do this, but back in the dark ages when I went to college, they had something called like remedial algebra or remedial English. So if your test scores weren't good, they would stick you in that class. And I'm thinking, okay, you're in college right now.
Right.
You should have already mastered those basic skills.
For sure. And it's really a cultural problem because we don't value education anymore. We value our social issues. We value sports in schools a whole lot. And I love a good football game. But we need to change the culture to valuing education and learning again.
How do we do that?
I think it has to completely reframe the way we think about it. Instead of trying to teach everyone what to think and focus on agendas, we need to learn how to think again. And we need to look at education not only as a means of learning philosophy and history, but also of learning how to do practical things, which is an aspect we've totally lost.
Sort of critical thinking, then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of gone by the wayside.
It has.
I know there's been a lot of conversation even within, okay, fine, you're not going to send your kid to a private school or you're not going to go to a public school. The kinds of homeschooling educations out there, you know, the classical education, tell me about your own experiences.
Yeah, I was homeschooled all the way through, and it was an incredible experience. I had parents that really valued critical thinking, and they didn't just give me a viewpoint and say, now this is your viewpoint. Of course, they taught me this is what's right. These are where we got our ideas, but you need to know how to think, and you need to look at history, and you need to understand what has happened and how we got to the place that we are in. And that really leads you to value your culture, to value your country, and to think critically. And it enables you to take steps into the workforce.
It is interesting, though, when you look at things like, for example, spelling bees and all these things, where you're putting the homeschool kids up against public school kids. By and large, they're winning those competitions, and they're leading the pack in a lot of these, you know, STEM groups. What do you make of that?
For a while, there was a lot of concern that the homeschool kids are not going to be able to compete against the public school system. And we've seen now that is not at all the case. The homeschoolers are leading in so many different areas, especially in STEM areas. They get into better colleges and they're getting better scholarships. And that's because homeschooling allows you to focus on real education, reading and writing and math, and leave a bunch of the fluff behind.
I love that. Dylan, turn your microphone on. So, you know, the other thing about homeschooling, can we get real here for a minute? That's what we do here. So the argument is, well, if you homeschool your kids are not going to be like, they'll be kind of socially awkward. For the record, we don't believe Ian is socially awkward. We think he's cool.
He's very cool.
Actually, he's cooler than us.
Yeah.
I'm kind of concerned about
that. He's cooler, smarter, everything.
Theoretically, he could actually host the show. That's how concerned
that would
I
be
am.
Interesting, actually.
But it's true. You know, I mean, these are all unfounded stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, I love the homeschool community, especially in Western Tennessee, you know, where there are tons of things for kids to do and for families to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Homeschoolers have access to all the same extracurricular speech and debate and sports and all of that. It's really not a legitimate concern anymore as far as socialization because there are so many options.
That's good. Well, that's good because you don't want to be like the audiovisual club. You know, that's nobody wants that.
Well, you've got a cool crew back there. Now,
Yeah, but they're not the AV club. So that's they're like, what are you guys doing?
I have no idea. We need to come up with a name.
We got to come up with a name. What's Ian's nickname again?
Mighty E.
Mighty E. Well, all right.
It's Mighty been about 15 years since we've used that one.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Anna, look, thank you so much for dropping by. And we'll get you back on to talk politics. And because you are working out with one of the campaigns, how's that going? Are you guys having a lot of fun door knocking and all that?
It's going great. I love it. Such a great opportunity to get out and talk to people, hear their issues, their concerns, and see how we can implement that in whatever the next governor's administration will be.
We got to get out the vote.
Absolutely. August 6th.
All right. Anna Neiswanger, everybody, in our Patriot Mobile studio. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Dylan, I am excited about fight night at the White House. This is going to be so much fun. By the way, the big event was what, Sunday night, and there's concern because there may be thunderstorms, but I think there is a covering over the octagon, the squared circle, if you will. But anyway, going back to, and we've had a lot of people weighing in, and most people do not believe the Octagon girls, their outfits are a violation of the flag code because they're really not the flag. You know, the flag, 13, you've got the 13 stripes, you've got the 50 stars. So if you don't have all of that, then it's really not the flag. Kind of looks like a flag, but it's not really the flag. This is the headline, Trump UFC fight faces tough opponent. Heat, humidity, and bugs. Will competitors collapse? Well, if they get punched.
Yeah.
The headline here, temperature soaring so high that Trump's UFC fighters may just collapse in the heat. So basically, they're suggesting that Trump has organized some sort of, I don't know, a death match here.
Why are they acting like we've never been outside before?
Exactly.
Like, we don't know that water exists, that fans are in existence.
People are freaking out over all of this. This makes no sense to me.
Even it's mosquito repellent exists. Like, we can cure all these things.
It is a fair point. It's a fair point. One of the things I love about the way it has been designed is that the White House itself is front and center. It's like right there. So you're always going to have the White House in the background of the fighters. Do we know how many fights are there going to be?
I don't know.
We have to look into this. UFC Freedom 250. Also known as UFC at the White House. So, oh, here we go. So we've got so it all starts at 7 o'clock. It's not going to be that bad, but there is a full slate of fighters here. This is going to be pretty impressive. Let's go to Charles in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Charles, I understand you have some trivia about the pyramid.
Yeah. Right now, I just happen to be in Dahlonega. I just passed the Dahlonega Nugget.
one of the finest newspapers around. All right, Charles.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, the trivia about the pyramid is my father, I think I've told you before that he was a famous architect there in Memphis, Robert Lee Hall, and that he originally proposed the pyramid to the city council as a history of man, and the idea behind the pyramid was the sister city of Memphis, Egypt. So that's why the idea of the pyramid. Well, the man that did the renderings, artistic renderings for my father, his son is the one that went and proposed the idea about the basketball arena. And I have in my home office the plans that my father did and the artist's renderings hanging up in my office. And it was before, I guess, the commercial appeal, I guess it was, finally gave him recognition for it after he was long gone and dead. But just a little bit of trivia for you to close out the day.
Thank you very much, Charles, and I appreciate that trivia. And you be safe driving up there in the North Georgia mountains. Folks, that is going to wrap. Wow, our show kind of went by quickly today. Want to remind you, head over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, or Target, and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. That book is going to be in bookstores August the 11th, but we need as many of you as possible to pre-order copies. They will arrive at your home on August 11th, and we want you to get a copy of this epic book that is a celebration of all that God has done for our great nation through our president, Donald J. Trump, and also what we can do moving forward. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun. Get out there, be safe out on the roadways wherever you are. And whatever you do this weekend, be sure to go to church, America.